Today I will be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 through 21. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its originate in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
It's a super game. I think they call it the Super Bowl. Many of you will be watching it. And the New York Times had an article about a word that's used in football, and they pondered why this word keeps hanging around. You know what the word is? Hut! It's the most audible word in any football game, a throaty grunt that may be the sport's most distinguishing sound. Hut. It starts almost every play, and often one hut is not enough. In an increasingly complex game whose signal calling has evolved into an assembly of code words like black dirt, big belly, X-wiggle, hut endures as the signal to move. But why does it do that? Most football players have no idea. A pro football center said, "I guess because it's better than yelling now," or "go." Some people have used "go," and that's awful. That doesn't sound like football. A former quarterback reckons that he shouted the word hut more than 10,000 times during games and practices. "I've been hutting my way through football for years, but I have no clue why." The article conjectures that the word hut may come from the military backgrounds of many early professional football players, but that's just a guess. What God is saying to us today is, hut. He wants us to line up for the next play. And he wants us to be ready to go. And for that, we need God's playbook. We need the Bible. And the Bible is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, we read these words. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. You see, God's word that comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit is light shining in the dark. We live in a very dark world. Would you agree? It's made dark by sin. It's made dark by conflict. It's made dark by a number of things that we experience in daily life. What a dark world we live in. But the Word of God is that light which is shining in our hearts and in our lives. So we're to pay attention to it, is what this verse is saying. We're to be in our Bibles all the time. We're to be reading God's Word constantly. But it's not enough just to read the words in the pages of the Bible, is it? No, we need to be talking to God while we're reading this Bible. And so we're talking to the Holy Spirit. There are three questions that are good for you to ask of the Holy Spirit while you're reading the Bible. The first question is, what is this saying to me, God, about who you are? A second question is, what do I need to stop doing? And then a third question is, what do I need to start doing? And so what the Bible should do for you and me is help us understand who God is and help us understand how to live our lives. But this is light in a dark world, and the darkness around us would prefer that we not do this, not ask these questions, not change our lives. But God wants us to change our lives, doesn't he? Is he satisfied with you the way you are right now? No, he's not. He wants us to change, be transformed, and be different because we hear him speak through the Holy Spirit, through the words of Scripture. And this is light. What we read about Jesus in John chapter 1 is, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The light that Jesus Christ brings into this world has not been understood by so many people. And part of our responsibility as the church is to help the world understand who Jesus is and why he came. Are we working on that? Are we doing what we can to help the world understand who Jesus is and why he came to earth? So step back for a moment and reflect on that thought. What are we doing? That's central to what it means to be a Christian, is to help the world understand who Jesus is. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what that means is it comes down to following. The Word made flesh beckons us to follow him. Dear friends, this is not simply a statement about doctrine or about belief. It's a statement about behavior. If I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, then I need to act like Jesus. And that's a question for us to consider today. Are we acting like Jesus Christ? Do people look at us and say, "You're different. You're not like the world. You're light instead of darkness. There must be something guiding you that's not guiding me." What could that be? Could it be the Word of God? As you read it and reflect on it, and it asks you to make changes, are we making those changes? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, we read these words, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things." There are so many people giving me advice, but the advice I most want comes directly from the Bible, right? And it's not coming from human beings. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, but it's God who is speaking to me. I don't know what prophets you love to read, but I love to read Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, we hear God say these words, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." That is not Isaiah speaking. That is God speaking. And what God is saying to you and to me is, wait, hope, be patient, and I will renew you. What a blessing to have that promise from God, that if I wait upon him, that he will bring about renewal in my life. And yet the world still struggles with where this Bible came from. And some people think it's the writing of human beings. But it's clear to me when you read from Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. So Jeremiah did not speak his own words. They were placed in his mouth by our God. And so we stand upon the prophets. It's their message which is so important for us to read. And that's why I want to encourage you today to read the entire Bible from cover to cover. Please don't leave out the Old Testament. There is so much power for us in the words of the prophets that speaks to you and to me about how to live our lives. You know, high over the portals within the south transept of the 800-year-old Cathedral of Chartres in France spreads a great rose window. It's 40 feet in diameter. That's a big window. At its center sits Christ, while immediately around him orbit eight angels and symbols for the four evangelists, each enclosed within a circle of stained glass, and beyond them orbit the 24 elders of the book of Revelation, each also with its own bejeweled circle, for a total of 36 orbiting circles of blue, red, gold, purple, and white. It's enough to make your head spin. Nor is that gigantic wheel of color the only thing to enchant you in that soaring wing of the cathedral, because below it rise five more long and narrow windows, the central one featuring Mary, while the other four show images of the gospel writers, Luke, Matthew, John, and Mark, in that sequence. Now, if you look closely at these windows, you'll notice something interesting. All four, appearing boyish in size, sit on the shoulders of a tall prophet of the Old Testament. Luke is on the shoulders of Jeremiah. Matthew is on the shoulders of Isaiah. John is on the shoulders of Ezekiel, and Mark is on the shoulders of Daniel. The four major voices of the New Testament in this window are riding piggyback on the four major voices of the Old Testament. It's just the way a dad might lift a small child on his shoulders. Why would those artists do something as playful as that? Well, you know what? It's not playful. They wanted to make a serious point that the Gospels build on the wisdom and the vision of the Old Testament. When you read the Gospels, do you notice how much they quote the Old Testament? You should. It's very important to remember that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are leaning on the Old Testament scriptures to say what they're saying about Jesus Christ. And so it makes you want to read the Old Testament more. There are so many treasures to be found in reading the Old Testament prophecy. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, we read, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's how the prophets received the word of God, by the Holy Spirit. God's prophets have said some amazing things. And one of the most amazing passages that you'll read in the Old Testament prophets is in Habakkuk. These are some amazing words. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Habakkuk is telling us that no matter how bad our lives are going, God is still God. And I can still praise him. I can still worship him. And then he changes me. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to travel on the heights. So change is in store for the person who continues to honor and praise and worship Almighty God. God is telling me that I can have joy no matter how my life is going. God is still giving to me strength. He's also giving to me truth. I took a call this week from someone who said he was representing Google. You know what he told me? He told me that when you enter Mount Washington Baptist Church in Google, that it directs you to several other churches, not Mount Washington Baptist Church. And he said, for a one-time fee, I could fix that. So what I decided to do while talking to him on the phone was to Google our church. And you know what it did? It led me directly to our church's website. So I told the man on the phone what was happening. I said, you know, I just Googled Mount Washington Baptist Church and it took me directly to my church's website. And you know what he did? He hung up the phone. You see, he wasn't telling the truth, and at that moment, he knew that I knew that he was lying. And that's the world that we live in. There is so much lying going on. But this book you're holding in your hands, this Bible, can be counted on to tell you the truth, no matter what the world is saying. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. What an amazing God we have. He's given us truth. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And he's given us the means by which we can know the future. Can we place our trust in him above all things? That's what God is asking us to do. Jesus made this promise to the disciples as he was preparing to leave them. And so that way they would have truth, they would have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ had been bringing them truth every single day. But they would keep receiving God's truth through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the Word by the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us every day of our lives. Help us to listen. Help us to read your word and talk with you and know what you are saying to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our concluding hymn is, We Are Gathered for Thy Blessing, number 258. We invite you to stand as we sing together and worship God. And if anyone has a need for prayer, please come to the front and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you.